Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Growing Out of Possession, a conversation with David Pierce Rodriguez. As a child, David Pierce Rodriguez spent several of his formative years possessed, living in a mansion that held its own spirits combined with depressing family trauma, likely led to something very dark taking on David's body and actions. All these years later, David is out to help those affected by the paranormal and those affected by the supernatural world's darkest sex, the demonic.
So I was 12 and he appeared in a chair when I was getting ready to go to sleep. I just got into the bed, felt like something was in the room, look across, and my grandfather's right there sitting in a chair. Didn't say anything, just kind of nodded his head, kind of like to say, I guess, you know, what I imagined he was saying was that I'm going to be okay. And that was it. He just kind of disappeared. It was it. It was very strange, very fast. And that's the first time. And then after that, we'll go up a couple of years in the same house from 1984 to 1986. From ages of 14 to 16, I underwent a possession in that house. So kind of have maybe a different story than most people do.
Yeah.
But that got pretty intense. And then I tried to forget about it. After that, I moved out of that house, moved, went to high school and, moved around a bunch of times, and I wasn't in Ohio anymore. So that stuff didn't really happen to me anymore. And I kind of wanted to forget about it. But as I got older, in my 20s and stuff, stuff kept happening. I would see stuff around me happening that was kind of paranormal, had the question still, and it's always in the back of my head. But I didn't really have time to kind of pursue that in my 20s and until my early 30s. And then in late 2003, early 2004, 17 years ago? That's a long time ago. 17 years ago?
Crazy.
It was in Nebraska. I started Prism Paranormal. So it was my first Prism team. We started there in Nebraska. And that went really well. I mean, I was trying to join a team. I had never looked for ghosts on my own. I had an experience where I owned a recording studio and got an EVP on there. And so that kind of really intrigued me. So I wanted to work on audio stuff. Mm-hmm. And finally got some people around me that we were doing good stuff. But we actually got a lot of people in Nebraska would call us to come to their houses. We had we had one city in Nebraska call us to go to their cemetery. We ended up doing the Villisca Axe Murder House, one of the first people to go into the Villisca Axe Murder House, and a bunch of places there where it got really, it was good. We did a lot of TV and stuff over there, like local TV and local news and stuff. And
sure.
That team's still going strong, still investigating the same places we investigated way back when. But then I ended up moving. I got divorced and moved to South Florida, to Miami. And that was 8 years ago. And so what I did is I started a Prism team in South Florida. And now I kind of just investigate the stuff down here. I mean, I do go on trips and stuff, and I do investigate stuff up north when I go travel. But it's pretty much I do all Miami, a little bit of Broward, sometimes mm-hmm. the Keys. I do all the stuff down here, which people don't really know about because people don't really associate Miami as a haunted place, but there are places down here.
Sure. Lots to unpack there. I'm going to go way back to the beginning of what you were talking about, and then we'll kind of just slowly weave our way forward. When you saw your grandfather a few days after his death, when you were 12 years old, in your house, and you wake up, he's sitting there, he's dead, but he's there. What's going through little David's mind at that moment in time? How are you processing that?
Well, at this point I had gone to go, my parents were divorced. They got divorced earlier that year, maybe the year before. And I was visiting my dad. And so when my grandfather died, I was living in his house and I was super close to him. And when he died, I heard about it on the phone and I wasn't there. And I just felt really awful that I should have been there. So what I did is immediately just flew back that night, you know, went to the funeral a day or two later. And then it was just after the funeral that he showed up there. But it was like, I think that he was just there to say that it's okay. And it was going on in my mind. I was never like, I've never been a person to be scared of anything like that. I mean, even from the beginning, anytime I had any kind of spirit trying to communicate with me, and that house was crazy with the kind of spirit communication, but it just, to me, it was more interesting. And I just kind of looked at them as like people that are alive in a way. I mean, it just, to me, it's more interesting. And I just kind of want to talk to them as much as possible and not, I don't, it doesn't freak me out whatsoever, really. I mean, there are some scary places I've gone to. I mean, you know, we all know that who are in this business, but there's not ghost in per se. It doesn't faze me, except that I just want to communicate more and more.
Up until that point, what was your outlook on ghosts? I mean, did you believe that they existed? Did you have much thought at all into it at 12 years old? Or I mean, it's quite a sight to see, to have something like that happen. So I'm trying to get an idea from you of the fact that you said you just, you know, you were interested. A lot of kids would be kind of freaked out or have it not as calm, I guess, of a reaction as you did. So I'm trying to understand where you were mentally to be able to have that reaction.
I think it was because I just came back from a funeral. I would think it was maybe my whole, I was sad that day. And so I just really wanted to see him. So like, I think that was my wish. So there was no reason to be like, you know, freaking out about it. Like, it was just, I don't know. And you know, it's very rare to see an apparition. I mean, yeah. I've seen probably three in my life, and you know, sometimes you wonder, is that a real person? Was it a thing or not? But I have never seen anything like that when I was that age, sitting there looking at someone in a chair showing up to me like that. Like, that has never happened again. So I even questioned it myself, but I'm positive what I saw. And I wasn't asleep yet. I hadn't, you know, I mean, I literally just got out of the bed, turned off the lights, and I felt like somebody was in the room, like I was playing hide and go seek with somebody. And they had just walked in the room and I was hiding in a closet. I just, you know, all, you know, it was probably static electricity or whatever's going on in that room, but my arm hairs were up and I was like, you know, I totally looked towards that chair and he was there. But that house, there's a lot more stories that go on in that house in the following few years. And what I didn't know is that house was just supercharged. I mean, it was built by, it's a 14 level house, a mansion. And it is, it's built next to, an Indian burial ground, a Native American burial ground. A creek runs behind it. There's just a lot of a lot of stuff is going on in that land, and I don't know what exactly. I mean, there was a lot of, like, there was a rape there. The day I moved, the police were all moved into that house. That week, a girl had been raped down at the bottom of the property, and it was sitting on acres. So, but at the bottom of the property where the dividing line was, and you know, they came to me even seeing if I was, you know, one of the, you know, they had to go to everybody around to see if, but it was a kid with a red bike. I didn't have a red bike. I just moved there. I was with my family. I was too young. They ended up finding the guy, and it was some guy who was, you know, later 20s that he raped her, killed her, and this girl. But there's just that whole land had this just, I don't know. It was charged, I guess you could say.
I mean, to have that, like, the first day you move in, and by the way, down at the edge of the property there, the police are investigating a rape and murder. It's not exactly the housewarming that anybody, you know, wants. After you had that experience with your grandfather, you saw him in your bedroom. Did you share that information? Did you share that story with any family or friends at that time?
Absolutely. And I did for a few years there with my whole family. I mean, my dad wasn't living there, but my mom was. My grandfather was there with Alzheimer's, so he had a nanny 24 hours a day. And I, as that happened, more stuff started happening. It was more ghost stuff in the beginning. It was more like trying to get my attention. And little things. Like I would be walking in the dark, put my hand somewhere and something would touch it. And then I'd be like, what's that? You know, and that would kind of catch you off guard. And so I started asking like the nannies and people who worked there in around the house, because I mean, it was constantly being cleaned. It's a huge house. So there was constantly people there in and out. And I would ask them, you know, what have you seen? And they would tell me over the years that my grandfather, my grandmother used to own what was called, this is in Columbus, Ohio, and they used to own the Miles Drive-Ins, and it was about 16 drive-in theaters. So that was his, like, the main office. And they would have people in and out, not while I was alive there at that time, but, you know, prior. So that would be back in the 60s and stuff going on. So they had 50s and 60s, 40s, 50s and 60s. They had a bunch of people in there, kind of, you know, it was just, so there's, there was still a lot of people coming in and out just because it was a big house. But I would ask the people who had been there back in the past, like what was going on in this house, if they had any experiences, similar experiences. My mom had a couple, but you know, I don't think anything really happened to her. But some of the people who had worked there had seen ghosts. They had felt stuff touch them, and they had little stories. Some of the nannies, or the nurses that were working for my grandfather, they had some experiences. Just weird things would happen. There's a list of stories, but
sure. And I want to get into all that. I'm just curious as to how the family, you know, it sounds like, were they accepting of this story of you saying, hey, I saw grandpa? Were they believing you, or was it like, oh, you know, you're just going through a tough time? Because I'm wondering if
it was anyone... more like, sure, kid.
Okay.
type of stuff.
What I'm wondering is, and maybe this is something that happened later, if at all, just because so frequently we hear these stories of when you're a child, someone close to you passes, you have that visitation in the night. And then oftentimes the child never talks about it, or it's just kind of brushed off. But then 20 years later, people are like, yeah, he visited us too. and it's quite a thing where it's like, had we all known this all these years ago, was there anything like that went on with you or any other family member? Did he, to your knowledge, did he visit anyone else after his passing?
So with my family, they basically are all there. They were all, not so much now, but back in the day, my brother's house, he just called me the other day and he moved into a new house in upstate New York and it's haunted. So anyway, but back then, you know, now if they hear a story about ghosts, they come to me.
Yeah.
But back then it was kind of like, they didn't really have time for that type of thing. They didn't really, nothing. And it's interesting. Why do ghosts, are they attracted to certain people and not others? But they really didn't. They didn't believe in it. Didn't want to believe in it. There was a time in 1985, early 1986, where at that time I was like going through the kind of like the end of my possession, and I was super like, I could feel the house. Let's say by this point, like the house, you know, me and the house kind of like, I felt like one with the house, and I don't know how to explain it, but we were downstairs with the maid who was watching us. My mom was out, and she was also like the nanny. She was taking care of us and taking care of my grandfather. And all of a sudden we're watching TV, and I was like, I could feel something was going to happen, kind of that spidey sense, like something bad was going to happen. And this was kind of like, we were downstairs in the basement, which was kind of like I would say like the epicenter of all the activity. And so we're sitting down. I'm like, something bad's going to happen. Something really bad's going to happen. And I could just feel like, shut up, David. What are you talking about? We're watching a movie. And then all of a sudden at the bar, there was a bar on the other end of that floor in the basement area. You hear a bottle smash to the ground. So she's freaked out because she believed in ghosts. She had some stuff happen, or the woman taking care of my grandfather. So she rushes us all up to my grandfather's room, a couple levels up, and we locked the door. He had like a super safe door there in case somebody came to rob, and like secret compartments in the walls and stuff like that. It was a crazy house.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.